Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Well, that song is appropriate because our subject matter today, I need thee every hour. This, as we delve into our study for this hour, and that is, what is sin? What is the definition of sin? How do you describe sin? Well, an understanding of sin is of the utmost importance as you look into things of the Lord and the things of the Scripture, because it involves the purpose of the ages, redemption, death, resurrection, the prophecies. All doctrines of Scripture are shaped and colored by its fact and its presence in God's purpose and plan for the ages. So, what is it? Specifically in your mind, what is sin? Can you identify something? You say, well, that's a sin. What about the Ten Commandments, for example? What about murder? Number 6 in the commandments. Would that be, is murder a sin? What about number 8, robbery? Is that sin? Number 7, adultery? Would you classify that in as sin? Lying, number 9 of the Ten Commandments. Would that be a sin? What about other things that are not in the Scripture? What about cheating on your test? Or cheating on your income taxes? Speeding to get here, which I'm always guilty of. Well, here's the big shock. Here's the big surprise. None of these are positively sin. And I know that shocks you, but I want to proceed to show you why that is the case. Our misunderstandings, because of our misunderstanding of what sin actually is, we are prone to make these things sin, when in fact, they are merely a result of it. They are a result of something that is more primitive, a more primitive kind of iniquity than what we typically think. And you say, well, how do you know that it's not murder or robbery? If that's not it, then how do you define it? Well, I'm going to show you. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 2, verse 12. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law, they didn't have the Ten Commandments, if you'll know, for 2,500 years, man didn't have it. He lived by the law of the plains. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. What's the wages of sin? Is death. They didn't have the law. They still perished. They still died for the wages of sin. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So here you begin to see that, you know, they didn't have it. They died anyway. Turn over a couple pages to chapter 5 in the book of Romans. And here we find pretty much the same thing in chapter 5, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. So all of a sudden it begins to, what is this? You know, what does sin actually amount to? It's a cinch then, just by these verses, that it's not breaking the law because they died and they didn't have the law. If it's not the Ten Commandments, then how did you describe it? What is it? What's the standard? Well, the big surprise is this. The Scriptures never positively describe sin. Sin in Scripture is described in three places, and every time it's a backdoor approach into what sin actually is. But if you look at these three verses, it puts you on the right track to begin to understand what the word actually means. So, we're in the book of Romans. Turn over a few more pages to the 14th chapter of Romans. Romans 14, verse 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eateth, because he eateth not of faith. And he's talking here about the ordinances that they were, the things that they were doing at that time. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's one of three statements in Scripture with regard to sin. The other two, turn over to the book of John, chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3. It's on page 1873 in the Companion Bible. 1 John, chapter 3, page 1873. And here we're going to see the second statement with regard to sin. Chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Well, what law? It's not the Ten Commandments, as we have seen back here in Romans. What law? But that's the second statement. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. The third one we find also in 1 John. Turn over to chapter 5, verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. And that's the statement that we're looking at right there. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. Now that verse is referring back to what John was talking about in the preceding verses with regard to sickness, and, you know, they could pray and have people healed and all that sort of thing. That, we're not looking at that half of the verse. We're looking at that first part. All unrighteousness is sin. Here are the only three statements on what sin is in the Scripture. Notice they're all negative. They don't any positively say what it is. It is negation of law, God's law, negation of right, negation of faith. That's all you get. So, for a better understanding, then, it helps to look at the words that are used in both the Old Testament and the New Testament in the original writings about sin. And the best example is found in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 20. It's on page 355 in the Companion Bible. And by just this one verse, actually, you can determine everything else, because when they wrote the Septuagint, they used this same word. So, and the Septuagint is an early version of the Hebrew Old Testament in Greek. That's so they knew the languages back then, so we can pretty much know the words that they used were good. So Judges chapter 20, verse 16, and you're going to say, well, this is a weird verse to look at, but it's because of the word in there that we're trying to get to. Judges chapter 20, verse 16. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men, left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now, what do you get out of that? The word miss is the Hebrew word chata. And it is the word that is used throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament in the Greek word. And it means the same as sin. They could not miss. I don't know what the deal is with 700 left-handed men and slings, and they were good enough that they could not miss. Obviously, they had some supernatural power that God gave them, because that's how they fought, I guess, and they always won. But, you know, everyone could sling stones at a hair's breadth and not sin, and yet they chose miss. Now, when they translated the Old Testament into Greek, the Septuagint, the old boys that did that, I mean, they knew the Hebrew as well as the Greek, and so they used in place of that the word hamartano, and it's the same word in Greek. It's to miss. Both of these words, in their broadest sense, and if you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, the very first meaning is failure or to miss, to trip up, to stumble, not to arrive at your goal, not to attain, not a condition, but failure, chata. So now Romans 3:23 starts to take on a different meaning. What is Romans 3:23? Well, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. At a first glance, these words don't seem strong enough. Why? Because there doesn't seem to be any guilt or any transgression or any wickedness or nothing like that involved with it. It's just missing or failing to achieve or to attempt or to try. It is only failure that comes from enthroning self and dethroning God in one's life that brings about what we typically think of as sin. It is the failure from enthroning self and dethroning God in one's life that brings about the things that we typically think of as sin. So we're dealing then with two extremes. Sin, the negative, chata, failure, and the results of that, and righteousness, the positive. So sin then is a state of mind and the resulting conditions that puts us outside the will of God. It is a state that starts in one's life an awful road of degeneration. And it is described in Scripture first as chatta, as failure. As I said, enthroning self and dethroning God is the essence. It's a negation of light. It's blocking out light. God, we know, is described as light. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, it's on page 1871 in the Companion Bible. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Good understanding and knowledge comes from this light that he gives us through, particularly through his word. In him is no darkness found or evil. Darkness comes by ignoring him or the light, shutting it out, refusing to acknowledge by faith what he teaches us in Scripture, unwilling to hear the Word of God for what it is. Light, understanding, knowledge. And as a result of refusing to acknowledge that comes ignorance. And it follows this same path. Failure to acknowledge him, not understanding the things of the Lord, not taking to heart what is taught in the Scripture, begets ignorance. From ignorance, then it goes to guilt. And when we get to this place of guilt, what do? We start in on wearisome trial, trying to be good, not understanding the principles that God has shared with us by being light. We miss the mark. I'm talking now as a people, as nations. And this guilt brings about effort and toil to bring and to build a better world. The results then are weariness, grief, misery, mischief, pain, calamity, rebelliousness, wretchedness, unfairness, sorrow, toil, travail, trouble, wickedness, revolt, adversaries, distrust, vanity, deceit, false affection, evil, unrighteousness, abortiveness, sadness. It goes on and on and on as a result of blocking out the light. These things that I just listed describe the many sidedness of failure of man without God, the unfruitful works of darkness. Such is the condition that we find in the world today in the sons of Adam. All of these spring from that initial chatter of failure to believe and accept what God has said to us. From such, nothing can deliver us except the truth that we find in the Scripture and the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. For evidence of that, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, page 1733. Let's back up and go to Ephesians first. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm sorry, I misread the scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, I'll stop there. God is light. He is supplying us with that which is necessary to not have all these things that I listed in your life and in the world. Another verse that shows the importance is, turn back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 4, in whom the God, and notice this is a small g, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. That's where truth is found. In the Word, in Christ Jesus. And here we find knowledge is found that blocks out ignorance concerning God. His Word is like a light. But I might add, only if it's rightly divided. You've got to delve into it enough to understand it. Failure to believe on faith creates an unfaithful works of darkness. And these are the results of that which is described as transgression of the law, all unrighteousness, everything not of faith. The guilt and the hurt that emanates from the lawless condition of unbelief is essentially the result of failure, or chatta, to believe God in the first place. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. It's on page 915 in the Companion Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, beginning with verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow. because he feareth not God. God's patience is such. He's been patient for a few thousand years. And we know by the study of Scripture that that's not going to continue. We have heard from him in mercy and love. The next time we hear from him, it will be in wrath. His patience will eventually run out. And those who have not believed him, their days will not be prolonged. He's talking about eternal life here. Those, as in that last part of that verse, neither shall he prolong his days which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. We all have fallen short in some way or another. We've all failed in one way or another. But he has forgiven us. This sin that came into the world, this unbelief came in by one man. It came in by Adam. Adam did not believe God. It wasn't that he just went over here and he ate of the fruit of this tree. That was not in itself the sin. The sin was the original idea that he had not to believe God. That's what we're getting to. It's not that he picked out this tree and ate. It's that he didn't believe God in the beginning. Chatta, failure, blocking out the light. That's where, and then all of these things that come about as a result. By one man, sin entered into the human race. By one man shall it be abolished and done away with, and that is Christ Jesus. Paul asked the question, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he answers his own question. He says, I thank God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, he says, with the mind, I myself serve the laws of God by believing him and allowing the light to come and the knowledge to come to him as a result of his belief. So then, let me ask the question. You've heard of the unpardonable sin? What is the unpardonable sin? Is it murder? Homosexuality? Robbery? Fornication? Cheating? Are those unpardonable? None of the above. There's no degree of sin. That's what a lot of people can't comprehend. There's no degree. One sin's not worse than another. I can't jump on somebody else because of what they are, who they are, what they've done. There's no degree in it. None of the above. They all are the results of a more primitive chatta. Failure to believe God and allow the light to come in. And if that was the case in the human race, we wouldn't have all of these things that I mentioned with regard to sadness and sorrow and sickness and war and famine and all these things. They are a result of a more primitive and original sin, which is unbelief. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we are forgiven for wherein we have fallen short, where we have failed. Those who have failed, we're grateful for the salvation that we have through Christ Jesus. We continue to pray that you would open our hearts and minds with regard to your word and allow the light to come in. Shed light on us. Give us understanding. Open our eyes that we may walk in love. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.